But let's turn over to the book of Joshua this morning. It's good to be back in West Virginia. Praise God. And thank you for Stephen and Brother Don helping to fill the pulpit last week. I appreciate that as well. Joshua chapter 3. And we're going to be going through this chapter this morning. I'm probably just going to read through the whole chapter, and then I'm going to go back and pull out the things out of the chapter that I feel that I just really want to hit this morning. And it's a powerful chapter, but let's go ahead and pray before we read through this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this body of Christ here this morning, that you have brought them here for such a time as this. Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them. We thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer and fasting, that each person, as they have set their time aside and these 3 weeks aside to seek you, to pursue the vision in the plan of God for their life. We pray that you would just strengthen and encourage them, Lord, that there would be a revelation that's given, wisdom that's given. Father, that you would set the course for this new year for them. And we thank you, Lord, that you're causing things to work out for their good, Lord, for their purpose. In you, Lord, what you are showing them, Father, you would move obstacles, that you would bring down mountains, Lord, miraculously. Let it be by the hand of God and not by man, that they would know, that others would know that they are a testimony and that your glory would shine through their life. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Joshua 3. Let's read through this. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Say, crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. And now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. the people who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is such a powerful passage of scripture, and I just kind of want to build the framework in the background so you understand what's going on. There's more to it than just crossing over a riverbed, and there's a lot of symbolism and understanding behind the meanings of many of these words. And so I'm going to go through, and we're going to look at the meanings and the underlying understanding of many of these words so we get the gist of what's going on in this story, because it actually applies to our life. So first of all, they are at the Jordan. They have come to the Jordan River. And if you know the background, the Israelites have been in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not believe the word of the Lord to go into the promised land. And of course, we have promises that God wants us to obtain. There are promises in the Lord Almighty that he has given us, but we have to take the land. So in a sense, we are just like the Israelites. We've got to cross our Jordan to obtain the promises of God. And so these people were in the wilderness for 40 years. Their parents had died. A new generation has come up, and now they've got to cross the Jordan to come into their promised land, into their inheritance. And thank God he has given us an inheritance as well. Every promise is yes and amen towards us, but we have to cross over and understand that there is something that's required of us in order to obtain the promises. And so here you have the Jordan River. Well, what is the importance of that? Well, first of all, the word Jordan means to descend or flow down. To descend or flow down from a prominent or high place. To descend or flow down from a prominent or high place. And so just a little bit, I looked it up because I was curious about the head of the Lord. Sometimes we're trying to force our way into something because we want it now, or because, you know, I think I'm ready for this. And God's trying to work some things out of us, or he's trying to show us something. He's trying to give us instruction, and we're just ready to take it on. Take the city. Take the promise. And God's not saying, no, you can't have the promise, but he is saying you have to obey the word of the Lord. You have to be in the presence of God. So the understanding here is the presence of God had to go out before them into the Jordan River. He said, take the ark, which is the presence of God, take it into the Jordan, which is the place of descent, the place of humbling. The people had to follow the ark into the place of humbling. So that's the question to us. Will we do that? Will we follow the presence of God into a place of humbling ourselves, into a place of receiving, into a place of seeking the Lord? Lord, I know I don't have it all figured out. I need you. Just because someone's been a Christian for 50 years doesn't mean that they just do everything without the presence of God. There's got to be a humbling. And there can't be an attitude of I know it all or I've got it all together. Because we have to rely upon the voice of the Lord and upon his strength, upon his grace, upon his word, upon his Holy Spirit. Because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. So we've got to operate by his Spirit. Now, you see what happened. As soon as the priests stepped foot into the Jordan, into a place of humbling themselves, into that descent, the waters stopped. And understand, the water, it's not just like some little brook that's so peaceful and, oh, listen to the rippling sound. No, this thing's raging. It's a raging river. It's in flood season. It's flood stage. So they've got to have faith to even step there. They've got to have faith to go into this place. He said, you've never been this way before. Do you remember that verse? It says, verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. That's the scary part. Because there are times, because we want to rely on our formulas. We want to rely on the way we did it before and got the victory. We want to rely on what we know in the Word and not seek the Lord for the new way ahead of us. But he says, you've never been this way before. So therefore, you need to come into this place of humbling. And you need to understand that the word of the Lord will bring you through this place and your faith. So the faith was applied when the Levitical priest stepped into the river and their foot hits the water, and immediately the raging rivers stop and it begins to pile up upstream and the rest of it flows down. One of the ways that we are able to stop the enemy's attacks in our life is we have to receive, first of all, the word of the Lord in our life. And that word here was humbleness. But sometimes it's the word of joy. Sometimes it's the word of keep your peace. When Moses was getting ready to cross the Red Sea and everybody's complaining, do you know what he said? Hold your peace. Keep your peace. So he was telling them, be still, quit complaining, quit operating in unbelief, and hold your peace, because the Lord is going to show you a mighty thing today, and he's going to bring you across the sea, and he's going to drown all of your enemy. So sometimes it's keeping your joy. Sometimes it's staying in peace and not allowing the enemy to rattle you. Sometimes it could be showing love to a very unloving situation or person. Because every concept of God, every attribute of God brings his presence into a situation. So what they were doing here is in the humbling, they're bringing the presence of God into the situation, and the enemy can't do anything about that, because the enemy cannot reside in the presence of God and have any victory. So when we operate by the attributes of God, we are making it impossible for the enemy to continue with his tactics, with his strategies. So the river immediately stops raging. And it ceases as soon as they take that step of faith. Well, sometimes that faith, and I'm not talking about, you know, going into your prayer closet for 2 hours trying to find the remedy of a now situation that just happened at work. Because sometimes you already know what it is, but you just ignore it. Like, I feel like ripping that person's head off and God saying, have peace with them, love them, do this for them. And you're like, I don't want to. Well, he might be saying to do that because that's the very thing that's going to bring peace into the situation. That's the very thing that's going to demolish the enemy's attack. But we have to have the faith of God to know that that's the answer. It's not just a, well, this is what I should do because I'm a Christian. It's actually the answer of God to demolish the enemy's attack in our life. So Joshua had to, I mean, you have to understand, Joshua has spent, first of all, his young life coming out of Egypt, being an apprentice under Moses for so many years, but he spent his life in the wilderness. And God's telling him, you're getting ready to go into a place you've never been before. This is going to have to raise your level of your hearing of the word of the Lord. Because he was going to face battle after battle after battle, city after city after city. And as a result, he had to have that relationship with the Lord to know what to be done in every circumstance and every situation. So he was going to another level. But it required a new level of him. And the Lord was saying, you've not been this way before. You've not been at this level before. You're going to have to trust me. And it's going to require a new level of trust. It's going to require a new level of humbleness. It's going to require a new level of relationship with me. People that you anoint, they're going to follow. You're going to put the anointing on them, and they're going to get done what you haven't been able to get done yet. The still small voice of the Lord. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Don't let your life continue to flow down into the place of Araba, where there's no fruit. Things are sterile, things are frustrating, and it's dark and it's gloomy. When we humble ourselves before God, there's light, there's answers, there's abundance, there's fruit, there's victory, there's your inheritance. Your healing. Don't just follow formulas. If you're trying to receive healing in something, don't just follow formulas. Listen to the voice of God. What is He telling you? What is He speaking to you? You know, there was an amazing, I hate to tell it because I want her to tell it, but I know some people probably won't be here when she's here. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it. The people we were staying with on Maui, they've been here before, Dr. Ashley and Ryan Kelly. And she was talking to me about, it's so powerful. I can't help it. She was sharing she has like a lot of testimony. So she's going to share like her whole life the next time they come in, because I've already asked her. But this one small testimony, just a piece, just a smidgen, because I believe it'll build faith in many people. Their son, when she was pregnant with their son, she had already had a name picked out for him. And she was set on this name because it was kind of connected to the name of their daughter that they'd already had. And so she wanted them to kind of be together, you know. And the Lord spoke to her and said, no, I want you to name him David. She's like, oh, Lord, I don't want to. I want his name to be this. I like this name. And the Lord gave her a dream. And she had this dream. And in the dream, he had been attacked by demonic spirits, but he stood up and he declared, and I can't remember exactly what it was he declared, but it was he said, I am the voice of God, and you will not overcome me. And it was and in the dream she knew his name was David. And so she's like, all right, Lord. And so they went ahead, they gave us David as his name. They decorated his room David, and they had David the king and David the shepherd in his room. And so time goes on, you know, he's born, but he's born autistic. And, you know, they realized that he wasn't responding the way a normal child would. And he was diagnosed and all of that. I'll let her give all the details of that. But through the years of his youth, she fought. And she fought, and she fought. In ways that the world told her was stupid. She fought for his, first of all, he was having seizures at a young age, like 6, 7, 8 seizures every single day. That's a lot for a young kid and for a mom to keep up with. And it was affecting him. And she was concerned that he was going to die just from this. And she was like, Lord, you gave him to me. You gave me a promise concerning his life. And she continued to stand on that word. She prayed about it. Listen to this. She prayed about it. She'd already taken him to the doctor. The doctor had him on seizure medication. But
She prayed about it, and she felt like the Lord told her, go get a second opinion.
Now, they were in California at the time, and they were already taking him to the best specialist that was known in that area. Like, people fought to try to get to this particular doctor for his condition. And she felt the Lord say, get a second opinion. She's like, all right, Lord. So they go to this no-name doctor and get a second opinion. And he says, take him off the medication. And so she's like, that's scary. If I take him off the medication, he's already having 6, 7, 8 seizures a day. What's going to happen if I take him off? But she followed the word of the Lord. And they begin to cut the dosage and wean him off. And he ends up not having any more seizures. And people have asked her, yeah, but what kind of medication was it? Was it medication that was causing the seizures? No, he was having seizures before he was ever on medication. But she believes that the word of the Lord and her faith in the word of the Lord is what brought his healing. And as time went on, she was like, my son is going to be in a normal classroom. Because they were giving him an IEP, they were trying to set him in a separate classroom. She's like, no, I want my child. He's going to be functioning at normal level. He's not going to be segregated and separated and not have the education. And so she pushed and she pushed. And of course, the world calls that stupid. The world would call that a bad mom. The world would have a lot to say about that. But she continued. And by the time they ended up moving to Maui, which was 4 years ago, she completely did away with his IEP. If you know David today, which you'll get the opportunity to meet him later this year, there is no sign of autism in him at all. You can't even tell that he has had any kind of autistic, and that's not a curable thing. No sign. He plays music. He looks you in the eye. He has a conversation with you. He's a wonderful kid, very smart. Yeah, he goes out and wins souls. Very smart kid. But that's what the word of the Lord will do. But you got to get the word of the Lord. So it can't just be standing on a formula. And you got to realize, if you feel that nudge, if you feel that push, It could be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He doesn't just speak in signs and wonders and stars above. He wants you to be connected with His Holy Spirit.